Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Hey, Lulu here. Whether we are romping through science, music, politics, technology, or feelings, we seek to leave you seeing the world anew. Radiolab adventures right on the edge of what we think we know, wherever you get podcasts.
Good morning. I'm Jamie Floyd in for Brian Lehrer, who's on jury duty today. Well, as you've been hearing in the news, officials in Albany are preparing for what could be the first government shutdown in New York State history. The state is still without a budget, and Governor David Paterson has been submitting weekly emergency extenders to keep the cash flowing. Attached to those extenders are various tax proposals and budget cuts. Now, two Democratic lawmakers, Pedro Espada and Ruben Diaz, both of the Bronx, have threatened to not vote for the next emergency extender. If the governor can't muster those two votes from the Republican camp by the end of the day Monday, there won't be a budget extender. There'll be no budget extender, no budget, and possibly no government. Governor Paterson joins me now. Welcome back to the program, Governor.
Thank you for having me, Jamie.
Well, let's get right to it. Bottom line, will the New York State government shut down next week?
Well, certainly it will if Senator Espada and Senator Skelos and their coalition, the same one that registered a coup in the Senate around this time last year, have their way. But I'm trying to persuade them that they don't know what a government shutdown entails. You're no longer able to pay corrections officers, and they may not be able to come to work, because if you can't pay them, it may be illegal for them to be there. So you have chaos in the prisons. You can't pay police and firefighters and emergency service workers, so you have chaos in the streets. You can't even come up with the resources to put gas in public vehicles. You've got the state parks. You've got the state museums. You've got state-owned buildings that may not be able to open. It's unimaginable how anarchistic the complexion of the state would look if it shut down. What I did after 2 months of stagnation and $2 billion separating the cuts that we're asking for the legislature for and the reductions that we have been promised is to take the reductions over the last 3 weeks and to put them into the emergency extenders, in other words, the appropriations that keep government running. And in that time, we have gotten $78 million of environmental protection reductions, $775 million in health care reductions, and some other savings from our workforce through an early retirement system. So we're well on our way to passing the budget, if not in one fell swoop, in piecemeal. But the reality is that we are now trying to condense 12 months of reductions into 10 months because we have blown off 2 months in delays because the legislature can't come up with the savings. Finally, I would just say that we wound up $750 million in arrears because the legislature wouldn't close a budget gap, an out-year gap from last year's budget, and I had to delay payments to schools and local governments and not-for-profits to keep the state running until the revenues came back in January. So when I was listening to the news, I understand that the mortgage foreclosures are down 3% nationally this year and the stock market's up 250 points because people feel that the economy is recovering in Europe and in Asia. But the reality is that the reason that the private sector's economy is improving is because they made the necessary cutbacks and endured the pain. Public sectors have not done that, and 48 of the 50 states are in deficit. New York is not even on the list of the top 20, but we could go right to the top if we don't take swift action and get our budget balanced.
Well, and certainly if there is a shutdown. Now, Republican Senate Leader Dean Skelos has said that he's willing to let the state government close for a couple of days, quoting a couple of days. You found that to be what?
To be a shocking statement because when asked, he could not define what a government shutdown is, but said he would be willing to do it. And then he said something that was just wrong. I mean, he's a colleague, and I respect him. He said that, but we won't let this happen with the important public protections like police and firefighters. No, when a government shuts down, it shuts down totally.
Well, did he define then what a couple of days is, or give you any sense of exactly what that would accomplish?
Well, first of all, I don't even know. Once a government shuts down, it takes a long time to start it up again. And right now, the agency heads and our division of the budget and the controller are trying to determine what it even means. Let me digress for a moment.
Let me, with all due respect, Governor, let me follow up on the Skelos point. The Times reporting that you and Leader Skelos met yesterday afternoon, and he suggested that some Republicans might vote for the next emergency bill if it included further cuts in Medicaid and other spending. Is that accurate? Is there a deal in the works with Republicans to get that next extension?
Well, listen, he said that, but he voted against his own cuts. 94% of the cuts that I put in this plan were cuts that he believes in. He talks about them at every leaders' meeting. You've heard him every week talk about this. So I took his cuts and put them in the budget. Frankly, I don't even agree with a lot of these cuts. The reason I'm doing it is that we need the savings. And he and his conference voted against it. Now, that's not as peculiar as it seems. What they're doing is they're placating the special interests by going back to them secretly and telling them, hey, listen, we're your friends. We didn't go along with those cuts that the Democrats did. And see, that action is what's intimidating the Democrats. The Democrats are afraid of the political ramifications of making the tough decisions. In the end, everybody's wrong.
Let's come back to the Democrats. It's all come to a head because Pedro Espada and Ruben Diaz have threatened to vote against the next budget extender.
Yeah, but
In a heated session yesterday, you were quoted as having called their actions disingenuous. And later in the day, I believe you referred to their actions as threats. I think even used the term thug activities. Are you now putting the blame on their shoulders?
Well, first of all, I didn't do that. I referred to last year's coup and some of the thug activities that were involved there. And
the same group?
Well, no, because Senator Diaz was not part of the coup. He was not. And a lot of the activities in the coup were from forces outside the legislature, which I think will be looked into further. So I didn't say that. What I said about Senator Diaz and Senator Espada is that they don't seem to understand, nor could either of them define what a government shutdown is. What they were saying was that they opposed the health care cuts and were not going to allow the vote for these health care cuts again. And listen, if they had a better solution, that would be a worthy point of view. But they've said that they don't want to tax anyone, and they've said that they don't want to borrow. So what other direction can you go unless it's cuts? They don't want to do education cuts. They don't want to do health care cuts. They don't want to cut the environment. But they don't want to see the parks close. And that's the kind of attitude that has made the budget 2 months late. And it's also the kind of culture that I am trying to stop by forcing the situation and putting into the emergency appropriations the reductions that will get the state the savings that we need.
Let's take a listen to Pedro Espada this morning on Good Day New York.
The alternative is that we're about $1 billion away from a total financial plan, a financial plan that will create jobs and stabilize our economy and really continue to pump money into our hospitals and our classrooms. And that's what we need to finalize here. These whirlpool of false choices that the governor has provided, do my cuts or shut down government, are false choices. It is not real leadership.
Your response, Governor Patterson?
I don't know what his choices are.
He seems to think we're close to a full budget being passed.
That is absolutely incorrect. That is so obtuse from what's actually going on in Albany. That is a gimmick designed to make people think that everything's fine. You know, he should have been an orchestra soloist on the Titanic. The reality is that his conference is $1.5 billion away from the executive branch in cuts. The assembly is also $1.5 billion away in cuts. And when you look at how they where they agree together, they're $2.2 billion away from us in cuts. And he knows that. But what he is doing is trying to manipulate the public into the thinking that everything's fine and that the governor is acting irrationally, when in fact we'll be sitting here until the middle of September. And you've heard the complaints about the inability of the legislature and the governor to get the budget passed on time. My budget was offered to the public on January 19th. I made amendments. They were there on February 19th. The legislature was unable to have conference committees. They haven't put their cuts on the table, and they have eliminated some options, but have not replaced them with real and recurring reductions to our budget. And I think what happens in situations like this is that when you have a one-vote majority of any party, you allow anyone, in spite of their lack of understanding, to speak and be heard, almost as if what they're saying is real.
I'm Jamie Floyd in for Brian Lehrer. My guest, of course, is Governor David Paterson of New York. Governor, do you worry, as one of the leaders of the Democratic Party in the state of New York, about picking fights with your own party?
What I worry about most is the prospect and the welfare of the people of the state of New York. And I waited until June, Jamie. I didn't do this right away. I waited until I see the state having run out of money, and I had to delay $2.1 billion in payments to entities we owe until revenues come back later in the month. We are living on the margin of our means. We're getting closer and closer to an insolvent state. And so knowing that there is some pressure on the legislature to pass the reductions that they can't come to of their own volition, that they accord with the emergency appropriations that I've offered. And frankly, party issues have got to be secondary at this point. One thing that is clear, nobody wants to make these cuts. We had a budget deficit that was twice this last year that we had to balance. We have depleted resources, and none of the decisions are politically expedient, and none of the decisions do anything other than cause pain. And there's a very angry public right now, and it's reacting to why did you put us in this situation? When the Greek parliament said that we're going to have to make reductions, they actually were invaded by the public. So I understand the difficult position that these legislators are in, but it's the same position that members and heads of families are in around the state. People are having to tighten their belts because you can't spend money that you don't have.
It does bring up the question, Governor, whether a government shutdown is actually a budget saving technique or a political tactic intended to scare lawmakers
There's
into action.
Nothing political about a government shutdown. It is a very serious situation. What I was going to tell you before is that the emergency appropriation is not something that's been in our legal system for the last 200 years. In 1980, during the Kerry administration, there was a budget that was 47 days late. Budgets had been late in the 40s and in the 60s and in the 70s, and what the government would do is go into its cash reserves and just continue to keep paying bills with the appropriations from the year before until the budget was settled. In 1980, this was the first time that they actually ran out of money. And that's when they came together and they decided that in these situations where there's no money and there's no budget, that the governor should appropriate money on a week-to-week basis in what they called emergency appropriations, and that the governor would choose what was funded and what was not. And so since we're in that situation again, this has all been set forth in law by previous legislators and signed by Governor Kerry. And this is exactly what I'm doing. I'm complying with what the law compels me to do and what the people of the state want, which is a balanced budget.
But
the state becomes insolvent, they won't be talking about the legislature because they're pretty much anonymous. But everybody knows the name of the governor, and I would have to answer for that reality.
But
and I'm not going to let it happen.
But as the leader of the executive branch, as the governor, isn't it ultimately your responsibility to find a working budget that all parties can agree upon? Do you think you've done enough?
Well, let me just say that after 2 months of trying to persuade and using every mechanism that is allowed to prod the legislature forward, I've taken what is an emergency action and what is admittedly a risky action, but it's one that long-term is better for the state than letting the state run out of money. You see, what you're really saying to me, Jamie, is we're losing the game, so get up and hit a home run. That's too simplistic.
Everybody likes a homer.
Yeah, well, everybody likes a homer, and you know, well, make your next 10 shots or kick the winning goal in the World Cup. And if you don't do it, you're not doing a good job. The reality is that I have found a solution that no other governor in this state ever tried.
Well you're working toward one. I guess the question is about the piecemeal fashion of adding extenders and cuts to the weekly emergency budget.
We're right back to the answer. We'll pass it all at once. I have asked the legislature on three occasions publicly, just take the budget that I have, put it on the floor, and vote it up or down, and they have not complied.
And you believe that ultimately you can cobble together a full budget picture in this manner?
Well, I'm about 25% of the way through already, so I don't believe it. I know that this is a way that we can pass the budget, and would I rather pass it all at once? I would. Now, last year, I got the budget passed on time, and I was harangued for 11 months that I gave in to the legislature. So, you know, I don't mind the criticism. I just hope it comes from one direction.
The reality
is that there are political forces that are compelling Republicans and Democrats not to take responsibility for deep cuts. This is not unique. This is going on in every state. 48 of the 50 states are in deficit right now. So what I'm saying is that the solution is that the legislature be brought to the table kicking and screaming. And if they want to take responsibility for not passing the same reductions that are in their own plan, Jamie, this is the part you're missing. The $775 million in health care cuts that we made last year, 94% of those cuts were in the Republican plan. So when Espada and Skelos don't want to vote for this budget next year, they're not voting for measures that they've suggested themselves.
Now, Governor, I mentioned that Brian is on jury duty, but thanks to the power of technology, he's emailed us a question.
That's terrific.
Yes, I suppose so. And he wants to know.
I hope this is not during deliberation.
No. He's just in, I think, the large veneer room. And I want to commend him and to all of our listeners. Jury duty is a part of public service that we should all aspire to. I know
Agreed.
You agree, Governor. But he wants to know, do you really think the state police would not go to work in the event of a shutdown? Might it be illegal? And what would happen to the court system?
Well, these are valid questions. I think many state police officers, as committed as they are, will come to work anyway. But you have technical problems, such as transportation, because you don't have the resources to gas up their cars. I mean, that's what eventually happens. What I'm saying is we don't want to face the unimaginable consequences of a government shutdown. But for me to be held hostage when I am the only one in this state who has listed publicly what their deficit reduction plan is, I think that what would have eradicate this whole problem is if the legislature came in on Monday and voted my budget up or down, a straight vote. Because there's a lot of pain, but the sacrifice is shared. Everybody's angry, but nobody is overly invested in deficit.
Well, we thank Brian for his question and for his jury service.
That is the first time I ever got an email question from the host.
Same.
Who's in absentia.
Same, I have to say. Same for me. First time experience. Now, Governor, we know we're going to lose you in a minute. I want to move off the budget because we have a couple of other matters we wanted to run by you quickly. Mayor Bloomberg was in Albany, as I know you know, yesterday to ask for restoration of state funds for New York City schools. Is that a puppy there in the background?
That's my wife's puppy in the background.
Okay. All right.
Probably expressing his view about the current budget situation.
Yes, understandable. Mayor Bloomberg claims that your proposed budget disproportionately cuts funding for the five boroughs. Can you tell us anything about your meeting with New York City's mayor?
Well, he didn't claim that in the meeting yesterday. He originally claimed it some weeks ago, and we showed him, I think, that they listed one of our cuts as a double cut because the fiscal years are uneven, the state starting in April and the city starting in July. But what he did say that was quite profound and disturbing is he expressed some reservation as to whether or not New York State will get $1 billion that we thought we had been promised from additional Medicaid recovery money. And that money is stalled in Washington. And believe it or not, Jamie, if we don't get that $1 billion, the state's deficit will actually rise from $9.2 to $10.2 billion, and the city will lose $600 million, and that will create a real further dilemma on top of the unresolved problems that we're grappling with now.
All right. And I do have one last and quick question in the minute or so we have left about a specific piece of legislation that came up in your last time with Brian on the show, the Domestic Workers Bill of Rights that would provide new protections for nannies, housekeepers, other caregivers. It passed the Senate last week, and the next day we got a note from your office that read, quote, as with all legislation, the governor will solicit input from stakeholders on all sides of the issue and make a final decision based on the merits of the legislation. The governor has made no commitment to sign this legislation, end quote. I want to play a clip of you on Brian's show from June 11th, 2009. Brian asked you point blank if you supported the legislation, and here's what you had to say.
Clearly, in the law, these workers deserve equal rights, and if they're able to pass the bill, or if they're able to get the legislature to even come back, I will sign it.
So, Governor, will you sign that legislation or not?
The only reason we gave the answer we gave last week, it's not always clear what the legislation says, so we want our councils to review it. On the issue, domestic workers were left out of legislation in the 30s, as were the farm workers, because President Roosevelt couldn't get the Southern senators to vote for it. So this is 75 years overdue. If it's consistent with what we think will provide that relief, obviously we want to be there. But the reason that we give these answers is that bills pass the legislature, and then we are automatically asked to comment, and sometimes there are hidden there's language in the bill that actually, in some cases, doesn't even accomplish what the bill was intended for, and that's why we're letting our councils review it.
So what you said on Brian's show is consistent with your you support the spirit of it.
Oh, I have supported this for my whole 25 years in government, and I would say it's 90% likely that the legislation reflects that, and I'd be able to sign it. But you just can't give a firm answer when you haven't allowed your council staff to go through the bill, because that has caused some embarrassing situations for other governors, and in one case for me, substantively review the legislation before you sign it.
All right. Thank you so much, Governor. We appreciate your time and your clarity today very, very much. And I thank you. I'm sure Brian thanks you as well,
well
from his
you
place.
And
downtown.
Thank Brian.
All right. That's Governor David Paterson of New York. I'm Jamie Floyd in for Brian Lehrer, and we will be right back.